guys ready for a new series? So every month we like to do a new series typically, right? And so this time we are going to be talking about harvest, right? When you think of that word harvest, what do you think about? Somebody said apple picking. What else? Gathering. Growing. Amen. There's a lot of different meanings, right? Both naturally and spiritually that we could look at. So we're going to touch on some of those this month. We can't, every month, there's no way for us to pack everything in that God would say about a particular topic. But we try to take at least a month to be able to expand on a couple ideas, right? So today, I want to ask you another question. What's your favorite season? I think I have a picture of the little seasons kind of separated there. Winter. Who loves winter? I thought there would be at least a couple. There we go. Matter of fact, I mean, we are in New England, right? So we have to like winter at least a little bit. But out of the four, it might not be your favorite, right? Next, spring. Who likes spring? Where's my seasonal allergy people, though? You probably don't like spring, right? You don't. That's not your favorite season. How about the next one, summer? Where's the summertime folks at? Yeah, I love summer myself. How about autumn? That's the fancy way to say fall, right? Autumn. Now we are in fall, right, or autumn right now. But this month we're going to be talking about harvest, and I want to read a couple verses before we get into the main verse. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, "For everything there is a season." And that's the title for today, season. We're going to be talking a little bit about seasons today. "For everything there is a season and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and unfortunately a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted." What does that sound like? When you're plucking up what is planted, we are talking about harvest, right? And here's another verse, Genesis 8:22. This is after the flood, after Noah's flood. What it says here is, "While the earth remains," listen to this, this is a promise from God, "while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease." What is this telling us? This is telling us, well, first, the context of this is the idea that God had just destroyed, right, a year prior to that, the whole world in a flood. So after the flood, he basically makes a promise and says, "Look, I will no longer destroy, I will never do that again. I'll never destroy the whole earth with a flood. And here's the sign. The sign will be the rainbow." When you see the rainbow, it doesn't stand for what we think of the rainbow today nowadays when we see it, but it's supposed to stand for the promise of God that he will never destroy the earth again with water. But then he goes beyond and makes another promise and says, as long as the earth remains, there will always be seasons. See, God is a God of order. God is a God of rhythm. There are certain rhythms and seasons that have been instituted, both naturally and spiritually. And so I know there's this thing that we talk about, you see a lot on the news nowadays with global warming. Now we see that that things are different, right? We see that the environment is changing. But this verse right here tells me that no matter how bad it gets out there, now, that's, by the way, what I'm about to say is not an excuse to be negligent. It's not an excuse to abuse the planet, right? We are still to take care of the planet. But understand that this promise right here is, I believe, letting us know that no matter how bad things get, there will still always be a seasonal change. There will always be certain patterns and rhythms that God instituted at the creation of time and will continue all the way through time. Amen? Now, certain seasons you can get away from, right? There's snowbirds, right? We have snowbirds in Connecticut and New York, right? That what happens? That when it gets cold, what do? They move down south, right? And then when it gets warm, they come back, right? This idea, they're escaping the seasons. You can escape a natural season, but it's not so easy to escape a spiritual one. Amen. Did you get that? We're going to look at three seasons today. We're going to look at three seasons briefly today, and the key verse is going to be Exodus chapter 23, if you want to stand with me. Exodus 23, we're going to look at verses 10 to 12, and then we're going to skip down to verses 14 to 17. Amen. And let me just pray. Father, I pray that as we jump into this topic today, God, as we talk about harvest, God, give us insight, give us revelation, God. Lord, challenge us, change us, transform us, God. Give us revelation, Lord, that we would be in alignment with what you are doing on the earth. And what you are doing in heaven, we pray, let it be done here on the earth as well. In Jesus' name, and the church said, amen. Amen. So Exodus 23, verses 10 to 12. And basically, right before this, God had given Moses the Ten Commandments, right? And so these are the 10 key laws, but then he goes into breaking down some other laws and regulations and of how they should live in this new society, right? So verse 10 says, for 6 years you shall sow your land and gather in its yield, but the seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beast of the fields may eat. You shall do likewise with your vineyard and with your olive orchard. 6 days you shall do your work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien, they may be refreshed. Does anybody need to be refreshed today? Jump down to verse 14 here. 3 times in the year you shall keep a feast to me. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread as I commanded you. You shall eat unleavened bread for 7 days at the appointed time in the month of Abib, for it is in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty-handed. You shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. You shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor, and we'll do 17 as well. 3 times in the year shall all your males appear before the Lord God. Amen. You can be seated. Praise God. So we see a pattern here that was instituted by God right in the beginning of their wilderness experience, right? Not in the beginning of the wilderness experience, but in the beginning of the idea of we have to set up some guidelines with this new community, this new nation, right? They were living under Egyptian rule and occupation for 400 years, and now it was time for them to establish a new community, a godly community. And so how many know that if we're going to do things God's way, right, then it means doing things different than the world does things, right? Amen? I think sometimes we have it a little bit wrong. Sometimes we think we can do it the world's way and just sprinkle a little bit of God's way on top of it and make it look nice. How many here have ever made like a sundae, right? Ice cream sundae, sprinkle a little sprinkles on top, right? You know, sometimes we're doing that as believers. When people look at us, they see the world, but we sprinkle just a little bit of Jesus and we think we're fooling somebody. Uh-oh. But here God was saying, no, understand, we're creating a whole new system here. And so you're going to have to do things much different than the way the world does things. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say, sometimes that hurts, right? Sometimes that's uncomfortable, right? But we weren't called to look like the world. We were called to be in the world, but not of the world. Somebody say amen to that. So there's some seasons that are represented in these verses, and he says the first season that I think we see here is that there is a season of planting. There is a season of planting. Verse 10, the first part of it, says, for 6 years you shall sow your land. Plant, right? For 6 years, plant. Plant and harvest. Plant and harvest. Plant. If you plant something, guess what happens? It might grow something, right? And so it's this idea of for 6 years you do that, right? And, you know, if you expect to have food, because when they were in the beginning of the wilderness experience where they were eating manna from heaven, but he was letting them know that there's a time when you're going to come to a place where you will settle, and where you settle, you will have to plant, right? You will have to plant. You know, For years, I've tried planting things in my backyard. Sometimes I've done good with it, sometimes not so good. How many people have ever tried planting things? How many of you have had some good times planting things? And sometimes it died on you, right? You're like, what happened? I forgot to feed. I forgot to water, you know, or you did water, but you watered too much. I had this plant in the back. It looks like a little like tropical type of a plant. So I'm thinking it's a tropical plant. It needs a lot of water because in the tropics, you have a lot of water, right? But I didn't do any research to actually find out that even though it looks like a tropical plant, it's really more of a desert plant. And so I was killing it by giving it too much water. It was drying up, and I'm like, how is this thing drying up? I'm watering it every day. That was the problem. I wasn't supposed to do that. So I stopped watering it, water it like once every week, once every 10 days, and guess what? It started coming back to life. But you know what? I planted some things. I've tried to grow asparagus. Who likes asparagus? You know, I think some people, based on that response, not too many of you guys like asparagus. Well, for those who don't like it, try wrapping it in a little bacon. Oh, that's good. Anything with bacon is good. But that asparagus, you know why? I tried to grow it because if you try to buy asparagus, for that little piece of green leaf, it's kind of expensive, right? And so I'm like, let me try to grow my own. It didn't work. It didn't grow. Nothing grew. Nothing popped up out of the ground. Not one leaf popped out of the ground. I tried making potatoes because I like potatoes, right? Who likes potatoes, right? The potatoes didn't come. I tried blueberries and raspberries. No blueberries and raspberries came. But you know what did come? I tried cucumbers, parsley, green beans, cilantro, mint. All of that stuff grew. It grew quick. It grew in abundance, right? Because certain things are easier to grow than other things, number one. Certain places are more conducive to certain things growing, right? Number two. And number three, certain soils, right? There's a lot of different things that go into this idea of planting. The same is true spiritually. I've shared the gospel with countless people over the years. I'm sure many of you have as well. You're sowing, you're planting the seed, you're planting, you're planting, you're planting. Guess what? Sometimes you get a cucumber that grew, and sometimes you get an asparagus that did not, right? Sometimes you get potatoes that did not, but you get mint. Man, you put mint in a bucket, you got to put it in a bucket, because if you put it in the ground, that thing will reproduce and reproduce and reproduce, right? Thank God that sometimes when you plant, you will get mint spiritually. Come on, somebody. Who knows what I'm talking about, right? Sometimes the conditions are just right. You share with the right person. Their heart is fertile ground. And you share with them, and they take off. And they sprout, and they come to life. And they start reaching out and stretch. See, the cucumber is the same thing. The cucumbers are a vine. You plant the seeds, but then it grows into a vine. And that vine, you need space, because that vine starts to stretch out, right? And as it will stretch far and wide. You have to like set up perimeters, because otherwise it will just grow like crazy, right? Strawberries, same thing. It will send out a runner and a runner and a runner. And so sometimes when we are planting, we don't know what we're going to get. Somebody say amen. Amen. When you go to the store, you buy cucumber seeds. You know that if you plant those, you will get cucumbers, right? But when it comes to the gospel, we don't always know what we're going to get. Come on, say amen to that. But this idea that there is times that we must be planting, we must be sowing, we must be planting. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3 to 9 is the story of the sower, right? The parable of the sower. And it says, he told them many things in parables. A sower went out to sow, and he sowed. Some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. How many of you have ever done that? You shared the gospel, or you shared Christ with somebody, and it seemed like they took it right away, right? But then you turn your back and you look back and you're like, where did they go? They just disappeared. They stopped returning your phone calls. They don't respond to your text messages. What happens? A bird might have come, right? We don't always understand, do we? Right? See, this is a natural illustration that Jesus is making, but it has spiritual implications. So he says that some birds came and devoured that seed. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up. But guess what? There was no depth. There was no maturity, right? There was not much for the roots to go down deep. And so what ends up happening, it says, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up since they had no depths of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched because those roots need to be protected, but they were not. And when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, listen, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30, right? This gives us an idea, right, that we don't know what we're going to get, and we don't always know, but our job is to always plant. Wherever you go, sow. Wherever you go, plant. Because you don't know what the conditions are. That's not always for us to know or even understand. We need to understand that if we are in a season of planting, our job is just to plant, and then God brings the increase. And you can't determine whether you are going to get a 30, a 60, or a 100-fold harvest. Right? This verse says that some will be 30, some will be 60, some will be 100. And sometimes we will look when we get 100 and think, oh, what did I do to get that 100? And I will reproduce that every time. And guess what? Next time, you might hit rocky soil. Next time, the birds are going to come and snatch it away. Why? Because there's no perfect, right, formula for this. The only thing we are charged to do is plant, plant. Plant, plant. You don't know the condition of someone's heart. Plant. You don't know if it's rocky or if it's fertile. Plant. Come on, somebody. Say amen to that. And then that last part of the verse, it says, he who has ears, let him hear. Let him hear. I want to tell you that we are always in a season of planting. Because guess what? When you stop planting, you mess up the harvest. Because you don't plant one day and reap a harvest tomorrow. You plant for a harvest a couple months down the road, depending on what you're growing, right? Certain things grow faster than others. Do you know that certain plants like pineapples, they take sometimes years to produce fruit? And so we don't understand that time and that season always, but we must be diligent to always be planting. Somebody say amen to that. Next, the next season is after we plant, what happens? Hopefully you get what? A harvest, right? Well, we plant, yeah, something grows, right? There's the stages in between. But after you plant and something grows, then hopefully eventually it will lead to harvest, right? And so this idea, the second part of verse 10, going back to Exodus 23, it says, 6 years you shall sow your land and what? And gather in its yield. So what does that sound like? Harvest. Harvest what the land is producing. Plant and now harvest. Plant and now harvest. This is this rhythm. This is this repetition, right? This idea of sowing and reaping, right? This idea we must, if we want to reap something, we must plant something. Amen? There's a lot of people that want to be blessed, right? All of us. Who wants to be blessed? But what kind of things are you sowing? That's the question, right? Because we reap what we sow. Amen. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that every time you do good stuff, only good stuff's going to happen to you. That's not what I'm saying. That's not the gospel. We know that there's going to be trials, there's going to be temptations, there's going to be difficult things. But guess what? That law of reaping and sowing, it transcends. It goes beyond the law. It goes beyond, you know, it was before Jesus Christ was born as a man, right? It's like an eternal principle, reaping and sowing. We reap what we sow. Amen? Praise God. So we'll talk probably more about that later in the month. But this idea of harvesting, if you go down to verse 14 now in Exodus 23, it says, 3 times a year you shall keep a feast. So God was basically letting them know, I want you to celebrate 3 festivals, 3 holidays, right? Christmas, Easter, and Valentine's Day. Huh? Was that what it said? See, because of that, there's a lot of people out there that say we shouldn't celebrate. I'm not going to talk about that. That'll be another time. Maybe we'll talk about that. But understand that in the beginning, God told them, if you want to celebrate some things, celebrate these three things. These are three key festivals. So I'm not saying that we have to start doing that, but understand there was something significant about these three, and it ties into the seasons. The first of which is the unleavened bread. And this is the idea that when they were on their way out of Egypt, they had to bake their bread with haste, right? They didn't have time to let the dough rise. And so they had unleavened bread, which means flat bread, basically, right? It's not bread that had expanded, right? Like dough would normally. And so he says, as a remembrance of this, you will continue to have this feast of the Passover and the feast of unleavened bread, right? But then the next two are two harvest festivals. It says in verse 16, you shall keep the feast of harvest of the first fruits of your labor, of what you sow in the field. And you shall keep the feast of ingathering at the end of the year when you gather in from the field the fruit of your labor. So important was this that verse 17 says that three times a year for all three of these, every male person of Israel must show up to these festivals. Like, it was mandatory. You couldn't like, nah, sorry, I'm traveling. No, you had to be there and celebrate. That's how important it was to God, you know, that you have to remember these. But two out of the three deal with harvest, the early harvest and the winter harvest, the first fruit harvest and the ingathering harvest. Now, there's a lot that you can talk about on these, and I'll just kind of scratch the surface a little bit. But can you show the one clip of Shavuot? They call it Shavuot, the first harvest, the early harvest is the harvest of the first fruits. Amen. And the basically in this year, 2021, do you guys have that or no? The 2021, Israel follows the Hebrew calendar. They don't follow our calendar. So every year this will fall on a different date. But this year it was May 16th to the 18th, Shavuot. That was the early, they call it the first fruits or the early harvest. But guess what? It's also called Pentecost, right? And so it's this idea, you know, that when you plant in the beginning of the season, you start getting certain things produced earlier than others. So there's certain things that those are the first fruits. And so how important are the first fruits? Super important to God since the beginning, right? This is why he says we are to give a tithe, right, of all that we have. The tithe is our first fruits. It's this idea that it is the first thing that came to us. It is the best. It is what we have been waiting for. Now, when you've had a season of infertility and now there's nothing being grown and now the first fruits spring up, you want to eat those, right? Because you haven't had fresh produce in a while. We're talking naturally, right? You haven't had produce in a while. So when that first springs up, you're like, I'm hungry. I want to eat some fresh produce. I'm tired of eating dried up grain, right? And oatmeal and stuff like that. I want to eat some fresh fruits, right? But there was this idea that the first thing that comes from the ground, it belongs to the Lord. And so they had this whole festival to celebrate this, that God is bringing the increase. God is bringing in a harvest. However, it belongs to God. Everything that we have, it belongs to God. But the very first things that we have, it's much harder to give, isn't it? Think about it. When you start a new job, your first paycheck, you're looking forward to it, right? Because typically you got to wait a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, sometimes even four, depending on how you get paid, to get that first paycheck, right? And you're like needing that, right? Because especially if you are in between jobs, right? You're waiting for that first paycheck. And so how valuable, how important it is. But then this idea of I'm going to turn it over, that's not easy sometimes, right? I'm going to give it to God. But it's this idea that, and it's this cycle that every year they needed to be reminded that the first, the best, it all belongs to God. Somebody say amen. But interestingly enough, you know, spiritually speaking, think about the greatest harvest of the of Acts, which is on the day of Pentecost, right? What happens? All the Jews have come from all over all the other nations. They come to celebrate in Jerusalem, right? The upper room gets rocked with the power of the Holy Spirit. They come out speaking in tongues. Peter preaches a message, and guess what? A harvest of 3,000 souls come to Christ on that day. But understand that that was just the first fruits. That was just the small harvest. That was just the little harvest, right? But yet we say 3,000 people, if they were to come to Christ right now, that's amazing. That's phenomenal. But that's just a taste of what God is going to do. That's just a taste of what God will do. Amen. Because that's the first fruit harvest, but there's a latter harvest, which they call the ingathering. And that one is called Sukkot. And that one took place this year, not that long ago, September 21st to 27th. And so they also call that the Feast of Booths. And that also commemorates their travels between Egypt and the Promised Land, where they were living in temporary shelters. Now, the interesting thing about the temporary shelter is it typically didn't have a roof, right? So you could actually look up and see the stars. You could look up and see an open heaven. Come on, somebody. What happens when heaven is open? What happens on earth when heaven is open? So it's this idea that when you look up, you see God's handiwork. You see the stars in the sky. Imagine if you've ever been in a remote location, right? You ever been in a remote location and you look up, you see the stars a whole lot differently in a remote location than you do in the city. Come on, somebody. If you've been in the city your whole life and you go out to the country, you'll be blown away, right? If you've never done it, you're like, I didn't even realize we had that many stars, right? And you look up and you can see the beauty of God's creation, you know? But there is an end time harvest. See, there is an early harvest, but there is an end time harvest that is going to be the largest harvest, where God is going to come and he's going to take all of his sons and daughters home with him. Come on, somebody. That is the great harvest that we are waiting for. But before that great harvest, that large ingathering, this is called the ingathering harvest, right? Before that large end of time. See, it's an end of time harvest, just like this harvest is an end of season. It's like a winter harvest, end of year harvest, right? Do you see all these connections and parallels that God creates? See, sometimes we read the Old Testament and we see these rules and regulations, we see these harvests, we see all these things that God instituted, and we think it's just a bunch of nonsense, it's just a bunch of ceremonies, it's just a bunch of traditions. No, but in those traditions, God has hidden his divine order of things, and he shows us from a natural perspective how he will orchestrate things from the heavenly perspective to the spiritual perspective. Amen. And even all the way down to how the temple was created and the Ark of the Covenant, there is a copy. There is the original is in heaven, the copy is on earth. So understand that everything that God does, he does for a reason. Amen. So guess what? These seasons are for a reason. Which season are we in? Which season should we be getting ready for? I remember when I grew those cucumbers. Like, I remember when you first start. Anybody ever grew cucumbers before? Not too many of you. It doesn't look like. If you like cucumbers, they're actually really easy to grow. But you'll see like a little like buds starting to come out on these vines. First, the vines come out, like I said, these vines start coming out, but then on the vines, they start sprouting these little tips. It seems like they sprout overnight, because you see the little buds and then you go out there a few days later and all of a sudden it's like a regular sized cucumber. It's like, how in the world did it go from this little thing? And it's like, it seems like magical. It's like, how did this big thing grow? So if you're not quick to pick them, they get bigger and bigger, and that doesn't mean they're better. My dad told me this. He's like, you got to pick them quick, because if you wait too long, they get full of seeds. And then, you know, it's just like eating seeds and skin. It's like, it's not good, you know? So you have to know the timing and you got to be quick. But here's the thing about cucumbers. They grow these big leaves. And you have to actually go out and lift up the leaves to see what's underneath. Because at a quick glance, you might be like, oh, there's no cucumbers there. But you might actually have to poke around. But when you poke around, you will get poked. Because guess what? Those vines and the leaves, they got like little spikes on them. Not crazy sharp spikes, but they're a little bit sharp, right? And it the same idea when it comes to harvesting, right? Sometimes you've been sowing. You've been ministering to somebody. They've been coming with you to church. They've been going to small group. You've been praying for them. You're seeing buds, right, growing on them. And you're like, they're ready. They're maturing, right? But if we don't forget to look under the leaves sometimes and realize that there's some things under there that might need to be dealt with still, right? Or if you don't check on them at all, and you just think, oh, they're fine. They're going to keep growing on their own. And then all of a sudden, it looks so good. But what happened? Because there's a time and there's a season, and everything must be done, and you must be done in order and must be done in diligence, right? And this is why it is so important that we must follow up, right? How many of us are good at inviting people to church and praying the sinner's prayer with them and leading them to Christ? But the follow-up, that's the harder part. This is the part where sometimes they die on the vine because we are not careful with the harvesting process of checking under the leaves. How are you doing? Making sure there's no bugs getting in there and making sure this and that and that they're growing at the proper rate. Is this making sense? Amen? So Hosea chapter 6, verse 11 says, "For you also, all Judah, a harvest is appointed." Do you hear that? This is in the time when they were still not doing well, right? But God was prophesying through the prophet that harvest is coming. Are we ready for it, though? Here's the thing. If God were to bring in a huge harvest to Gospel Light, would we be ready to receive it? See, I believe that God will only provide what we are ready to take in. Come on, somebody. So if we are not ready to take it in, he will not send it because he doesn't want to see seeds dying on the vine. Come on, somebody. And so if we want harvest, number one, we have to be ready to plant, number one. And then number two, we have to expect a harvest. Now, people say Michael Jordan said this. Some people said Wayne Gretzky said this. Some people said Michael Scott from The Office said this. But you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. You miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Guess what, church? If we're not planting, we're not harvesting. Come on, somebody. If we're not planting, we will not harvest. Come on, who wants to harvest? Who wants to see a harvest? Amen? Who wants to see souls changed with the glory of God? Who wants to see people come into the kingdom of God, transform from dark to light? Amen? And just walk in a newness of life that only Christ can bring. But this only comes if we are ready to plant and if we expect a harvest. But there is a season of harvest. Gospel Light, get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Amen. Put your gloves on. Amen. Get ready. It's coming. Amen. I believe there are small harvests that God will send. Small harvests, first fruits, right? To get us ready for the larger one that's coming. The larger one that's coming. Amen. Number three, the third season is a season of rest. Does anybody need rest out there? Somebody say amen. I know sometimes like that seems like that's not the Christian thing to say. We're not supposed to say stuff like that. Hold on. There's a season of rest. That's what this whole passage is actually about. It's about the Sabbath. So let's go back to it. Exodus 23, verses, we'll take a look at verse 11 and 12 here. It says, "But the seventh year," so for 6 years, plant and harvest. But what happens on the seventh year? It says, "The seventh year you shall let it rest and lie fallow, and the poor," why? "That the poor of your people may eat." Listen, Some of you guys are not going to like me after some of the things I'm about to say, but just hear me out before you start throwing tomatoes at me, right? Listen, because this is what this. There's some interesting stuff here that I think are applicable to today. But the seventh year you shall let it rest, lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, that they may leave the beast of the fields, they may eat, that you may do likewise with your vineyard and your olive orchard. Listen, 6 days you shall do work, but on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may have rest, and the son of your servant woman and the alien, they may be refreshed. Guys, there's some stuff here. Number one, there is a Sabbath year. Every seventh year, a Sabbath year. Guys, a whole year where they will not plant and harvest. Think about that. How will they have food if they don't plant and harvest? Number one, store it up, right? What did Joseph do, right? God gave him this dream, right? That there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine. So during the 7 years of famine, you must prepare and plan. So this idea, right, that we have to be stewards of what God has given us, that as soon as it comes in, we don't waste what we... Oh, come on, somebody. How many of us get paid, and as soon as it comes in, we say, where did it go? And you say, it went to my bills. But here's the thing. If we were to take a closer look at all of our bills, how many of them are a necessity? I said necessity versus how many of those things are those just things that we want? I want it, gotta have it. Okay, if you want it, gotta have it, then yeah, as soon as it comes in, it's always gonna go. There's a whole lot we can say about this idea of resting here. But this idea, too, of rest is we are going to rest in God's promises. We are going to trust in His provision, that as I don't have to work myself crazy for all of my life. Oh, come on, somebody. Some of us, we get in this pattern of I got to work, I got to provide. When will you rest? And you say, I will rest when I die. No, God is saying rest now in my promises, rest in my provision. Stop trying to provide all of your needs. Stop trying to do everything for your own self and your own comfort. Learn what it is to lean back sometimes and let God provide, but be a good steward. He's not saying just don't go to work and expect it all to come in. Oh, come on, somebody. He's saying work, save, invest. We're going to talk about more of this year, believe it. Work, save, rest, because there's going to be times when it's not going to come in and you're going to need it. How many of us have been getting extra money this year? This year is almost over, guys. Extra child tax credit, extra unemployment. All this other stuff, guess what? It's about to end. What's going to happen to your budget? Because if you're used to now spending that extra money and you didn't save any of it, what's going to happen? Think about it. So it's this idea, right? This idea of we work, but we don't squander everything that we have. We put some away because there's going to be a year where we will not work and we must have food to be eaten. Amen. Amen. Now, I reached out to our tour guide from Israel. We went to Israel last year, a group of us, and guess what he told me? This year is a year of Sabbath in Israel. This year. And that started in September. Their year starts in September, their new year. And so they're entering into a year of sabbatical, a sabbatical year. And guess what? Because there's no tourism going on in Israel, he does landscaping. And he's like, it's going to be a hard year of landscaping because it's a sabbatical year. Now, he said not everybody follows it in Israel. He says, but enough do that it will definitely affect the business. But this is what they do. Even in today in Israel, they still maintain parts of this. And there are some that maintain it fully. Amen. Think about it. A whole year of not harvesting. Think about that. Now, you may say, I can't even comprehend what that would look like. And I'm not saying that you need to take a year off from your job. Some of you guys are like, I will gladly take a year off from my job. But understand, there is also a Sabbath day. 6 days you shall work. One day you shall rest. We were not created to work 7 days a week. There are some of us who we got dreams and we got plans and we got goals and we're working, we're grinding. But God instituted a day of rest for a reason. For a reason, for your sake. Jesus said that man was not created for the Sabbath, right? The Sabbath was created for man. This idea that we need rest. We need a break. We need to sit down and rest. Oh, come on. You guys are not saying amen. It's okay. It's okay. We should not be working ourselves to death. How many people have worked till age 65, 70, 75, and then they say, now I can rest, and 2 months later they drop dead? Now, I'm not saying that you need to just, it's, life is all about, I got a vacation and I got to do all these things. But yes, you do need to rest. You do need to relax. One day out of the week, we must rest. We must rest. Now, is God going to make you do that? No. But sometimes you will make yourself do that because you will get sick, or you will work yourself into a place where you're just so burnt out and so exhausted that you will now have to take a break and have to take a rest. Amen. Think about that. We need to be refreshed. But listen to this, guys. What's been happening this year? Think about it. I feel like COVID forced us into a season of rest. Think about it. Some of us weren't able to go to our jobs. Some of us weren't able to do a lot of the things that we normally do. Things slowed way down for a while. But now a lot of us have been waiting. I can't wait to get back to normal. What does normal mean? Grinding, 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 and never getting a rest again? This is the problem, right? I think that this thing has gone on longer than what all of us expected or hoped or even dreamed or anticipated, because I believe in certain ways that maybe God is still hoping for us to understand rest. Amen. Sometimes these things happen and we can take advantage of it and do it. See, when the people of Israel went into exile, they went into exile for 70 years, and God said, now the land will have rest. Because you didn't uphold the Sabbath. Now the land will remain fallow and unplanted for 70 years to make up for all the years that you didn't keep the Sabbath year. Think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. God keeps his patterns and his seasons. He holds them in high regard. And there is a reason for them. Amen? Think about it now. Going back to this verse here, verse 11, but the seventh year you shall rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat. Listen to me. This is the tomato part that some of you guys may not like, but some will. But understand, I'm not making a political statement here. I'm just trying to tie in what is happening with what I see right here in the scripture, that the poor may eat. Some people are very upset about all this extra money floating around. And yeah, I think about it and I think to myself, who's going to have to pay for that, right? We are, who knows, right? But at the end of the day, what does this verse say? You are to let for a whole year the ground remain untouched. Certain crops will continue to reproduce on their own, like the grain and some of these things. Why? What does it say? That the poor of your people will eat. Think about it. Think about that for a minute. And we get real bent out of shape with some of these policies. And I'm not saying that they're the best or I think they are or anything. That's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm trying to say, understand that I believe we are in a season of rest right now. And our government is providing for the poor of the people to eat. Think about it. Think about it. How many people are getting a whole lot more money, like food? There's like food stamp money going around like crazy now, right? So the poor can eat. There's extra child tax credit that's being given, right? So that people can eat. Think about it. Again, I'm not trying to say anything for one party or against another party. I'm just saying, look at the times that we are in and look at what this verse tells us. God is concerned about the poor. He's even concerned about the beasts of the field. He said, and whatever the poor don't eat, leave for the animals to come and eat. Right? Because isn't there a scripture in Matthew that says he cares for the sparrow? How much more does he care? They will eat, right? He wants to even make sure that the animals eat, right? Because guess what? for 6 years, who's eating? The rich, the prosperous, the ones that have fields. But for 1 year, the ones that don't have anything will get to eat. They'll get to eat as much as they want. They'll be provided for. Come on, think about that for a minute. That's powerful. That's powerful. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 5 to 11. I'm going to close with this. Hebrews 4, 5 to 11. And it says, and again, in this passage, he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news fail to enter because of disobedience. Again, he appoints a certain day. Listen to this. A certain day called today. Saying through David, so long afterwards, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Would you stand with me? For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have not spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works, as God rested from his. God created the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, he rested. Did God need to physically rest? No, he didn't. He was creating a pattern for us. Let us therefore strive to enter the rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Think about it. He's talking about two different types of rest, right? And in the first passage, we're talking about this physical rest, right? This Sabbath rest, this sabbatical year, these cycles, these seasons of rest that we need, right? To be refreshed, to be renewed, to provide for the poor, right? All these other things, right? And think about Isaiah when he says, is this the fast that I have chosen? You abstain from food, but then you continue to do wickedness. He's saying, no, you fast, but then make sure you care for the poor. Make sure you care for the needy. Make sure you stand up for justice, right? So it's this idea of we're not just taking something away, but God is wanting to provide for those who don't have. And so he's saying there is a greater rest that we are all waiting to enter, and that is the eternal rest. But there is only a way, one way to get there. The cross of Jesus Christ. That's the only way we enter his rest. God provided Jesus. Jesus did the work so that we could rest. Think about it. Jesus did the work so that we can rest and enter into that place of rest with him one day. He did what we could never do. He paid for the entire sins of the world. He lived a righteous life, another thing that we could never do. He did the work, and we benefit from it. This is the good news. Come on, somebody say amen to that. This is the good news. Amen. So stop working so hard trying to obtain something that has already been given to you. The righteousness of God is yours through Jesus Christ. Not because of any works that we have done, but by resting on the work that he already did. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you just help us wrestle with and grapple and try to figure out, God, Lord, these seasons and where you have us and what we should be doing, God. Lord, help us to always be looking for opportunities to plant. But God, help us to know what does it look like to bring in a harvest? What does it look like, God, to raise up, God, men and women, God, for you? Lord, help us to then also understand that you don't want us to work and work and work and work and work, but we also must find our rest in you. We must rest in you now, for we will rest eternally with you later, but we must learn to rest now. Help us, God, to understand these balances. Help us to have a proper and godly and biblical balance, God, of these seasons, so that we might be able to benefit from each one. And that your kingdom benefits from each one. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. God bless you all.